sometimes it's the more general question, will there be animals? And I've got one whole chapter of the book devoted to that, and I would just say the only way to answer it briefly is to say, read Romans 8. The creation that cries out, that groans for a redemption that will come with the resurrection of God's children. And it explicitly says, not just we as human beings groan, but the whole creation groans in suffering. All right, who besides human beings would be suffering? Well, you could figuratively say that maybe forests suffer. In Oregon, you know, we would definitely say, and our, you know, our cousins the tree who scream as they're cut down or whatever, you know. But, you know, and by the way, I do believe I'm very pro-environment in terms of taking care of the environment. I just don't think we need to take to extremes and be anti-business and anti-growth and that sort of thing. But I do believe we're stewards of the earth. But my point in saying that is you could figuratively say that a flower garden can groan as it withers away and show that, you know. But literally, in terms of suffering, animals, besides human beings, who besides animals would be suffering? And what it says in that passage, in essence, is the whole creation fell on our coattails. The whole creation will rise on our coattails. The resurrection, the redemption that will come with the resurrection of the children of God, that's what the whole creation is longing for and waiting for. And in the book, I go into detail from Genesis chapter 9, where you've got God's covenant after the flood, and three times, maybe four times, God explicitly says, this covenant I am making is not only with people, it is with all the living creatures of the earth. Why is he saying that? God is making a covenant which actually appears to be an eternal covenant. If you look at the Noahic covenant, there are aspects of it that are a lasting covenant, appears to be not only with people, not only appears to be, it explicitly is not only with people, but it's with animals. So now, take that from the general animals, and there are many other passages. Isaiah 65, which says specifically it's about the new earth, ends with lion and lamb and the wolf, and the lion will eat straw like an ox, will not be carnivorous anymore, all of this kind of stuff. And that specifically says new earth. Now, there are two verses in Isaiah 65 that do not at all seem compatible with the new earth. And those may very well be millennial. But when a passage says new earth, we better assume it's new earth, except those verses that we think, well, okay, maybe that's only millennial. And maybe the millennium will be kind of a pre-picture of that. But the bottom line with our own pets is, of course, speculative. I don't think it is speculative as to whether there'll be animals. But I think the bottom line with pets would simply be this. If, according to Romans 8 and other passages, some animals which are now alive will experience the redemption that comes with the resurrection of God's children, if they will be relieved of their groaning and suffering and be in a place where they could suffer no more, doesn't that mean a continuity that some animals presently alive would be on that new earth? I believe it does mean that. And if it does, what animals would that be? And might they include animals entrusted to the care of God's people in this life? And my answer is, why not? Now, there is no biblical proof of it. But why not? To me, it actually makes perfect sense.